Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Deeper Waters podcast. I'm Andrea, joined by Brandon.
What's up, guys?
And today we have a special guest with us, Heidi.
Hi.
We're excited to have her as we dive into this conversation. But before we get there, a couple of quick announcements for you guys. First, again, sponsored by the cafe here at church. So the first person that goes after listening to this podcast and says identity to whoever is working in the cafe will get a free small drink. And then also we'll be taking a little bit of a break from the podcast just as we head into Easter and spring breaks. So we'll be back after that. So if your podcast feed is empty, we apologize, but tune back in after Easter. And
yeah,
there will be more content for you. And then also, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, hang out tonight. We'll be doing a prayer night, so come and join us for that. Reminder, no impact on the 31st or April 7th. Again, we're off for Easter and spring break, so we hope that you guys enjoy those. And then retro game night is coming up April 5th. So it'll be from 7 to 10. We have lots of fun games. CIA has been working really hard on this. It's $5. You can get your tickets online ahead of time. So be sure to come and join us for a super fun night. And then finally, Emerging Christian Leaders Experience.
Someone please change that name.
Seriously, we talked about this last week. I was very impressed, though, when we talked or when we were up in the cities. And
yeah, Dr. Fleck was just like...
She made it sound good. So I was like, ECLE.
Yeah, that was good.
Thank you. Thank you. That was good.
Every night, ECLE. ECLE. Just like...
But anyways, so this is June 24th through the 28th. A great opportunity if you're looking to grow more in your leadership, more in your relationship with the Lord. Really great price for all that's included. Being able to stay in the dorms, your meals covered, plus all this great learning that you'll get to do. So we were a little off in our pricing before, so we apologize for that. But it's actually $200 until April 15th, and then it goes up to $250 after that. So if you know you want to go, just get signed up. You'll lock in that lower price. But then after April 15th, it'll go up $50. So not too bad.
Yeah. And let me know, too, if you want to go, because I know other people who are going from our group. So I can connect you with them and you can maybe join them writing up or just see them when you're there. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Brandon, what songs are we listening to this week?
Songs. I have two. And
you wanted to make up for last time when
I did.
He didn't have one planned. And no. I still threw him under the bus and made him come up with one.
Hey, which
he did good.
It was good. And we ended up actually using that at Impact.
Yeah.
It worked out. But I have two. They're both by Phil Wickham, who I often find myself listening to his music when I'm worshiping the Lord. But the first one is Sunday is Coming. And I think it just kind of walks through the gospel Easter story of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and the sacrifice that he made. And the reason why we get to celebrate in Hymn of Heaven is like the celebration of that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I had those two songs together. And it just kind of like we get to celebrate what he's done and learn about what he's done. And then just like what that celebration gets to be like in heaven. And we get to do that here on earth too. So that's why I did both. And I encourage you as we're approaching this season of Easter to like really take your time to listen through these songs and have your posture be the posture it's supposed to be as we're coming into Easter and celebrating all that Jesus has done for us. So
yeah, absolutely. I love that. All right. So now we're going to dive into our conversation. We're talking about how Jesus provides a new identity for us, which is really huge. But our fun question to get us kicked off, because we're coming up on Easter, is any Easter traditions or like things you've done on Easter that you really enjoy or look forward to?
I don't have anything like fun or like unique.
Hey, that's okay.
I don't know. I mean, when I was a kid, like we would just do like the Easter baskets and then we'd always get like a new spring outfit. So that was always fun to get new clothes. But that ended, I mean, when I was very little, so I don't remember. But this one isn't as fun. But one year I lived in Oregon and I did a sunrise hike. And then we like up to like a sunrise service, like overlooking the ocean.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it was like super cool. And we also carried like a wooden cross, which was like, it was really hard. And I did fall in the mud, while I was carrying it. and we had two people carrying it at one time. So it wasn't even like I was carrying it myself. So it was like, I mean, funny that I fell, but also like a really like sombering experience, kind of. Sure. But then to be able to like get up to the top and have the beautiful view and like worship and celebrate, and that was just a really cool experience.
That's
so
super cool. Yeah. That's cool. How about you, Brandon?
That's cooler than anything I'm gonna say. My dad lived in Hawaii, so for a couple years we wore Hawaiian shirts to church.
So good.
That's
on Easter Sunday.
On Easter Sunday.
Show up in your Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah,
shirt.
It was there great. That's about
amazing.
My like, I love Easter and I love like who we get to celebrate, but like looking like my dad's a pastor, so it's like a work,
it was
big
a
work
busy day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we didn't do a whole lot, but it was just fine. We often go to like a friend's house afterwards because like there's no way my mom's gonna sing for however long she's singing and then go cook, so that was always fun. But
growing up, this is like one of my favorite childhood memories like of all times, like is around Easter. But we would always go to church and then we would head down to my grandparents in Iowa, and they lived on a farm, so had like a big property, and there was 16 of us grandkids, and my grandma would have a specific egg color for each grandkid. So like I was purple or whatever, and eventually she like was started running out of color, so she had to like mismatch. And so it's like, okay, if you're pink and purple and you're blue and purple and you're blue and red or whatever, and would do different combinations of colors. But anyways, we would get a bag with our first egg in it, and it would always have a quarter and a clue. And so the clue would lead us to our next egg. And so it would like, she would That's write so out fun. All of these clues for all of us grandkids. 16. Isn't that
That's so
wild?
Much work.
So
awesome.
Much work. And she'd hide them all around the farm. And so we would be so excited to like go Aww. Find our eggs. And then That's our so last fun. One. So each egg we found would have a quarter and a clue in it. And then the last egg would lead us to where like our Easter surprise basket or whatever was. And so it was just so much fun.
That's so fun.
Like, we'd just be running around the farm, and she's funny because she would put like directions like north of the old barn, and we're like, Grandma, which way's north? Like, Grandma, so which plant is this one? Like, you know. And so she always fun. Wrote in cursive, and so we like had to know how to read that. It. So, but
wow,
so much fun!
That's such a fun
memory. Grandma,
right?
It was awesome.
It was so
awesome.
Good. We loved it. We loved it so much.
Wow.
All right. So now shifting gears entirely into our conversation about Jesus giving us a new identity. What does it look like when you really set your identity in Jesus? I think that we can often falter in this, or as we come to know Christ, we maybe don't understand this in its entirety, but we hopefully grow in this. And so what does it look like when you really place your identity in Christ?
I mean, for me, there's a lot of freedom when I do that, and when I'm living, like with my identity being in Jesus, because like first I know who I am, and I know that I'm a child of God, and I know like who he created me to be, and that he created me like with intentionality and with like purpose, and like my interests and the things that I like, or like maybe what I feel passionate about or things like that. Like, it might just be for fun, but I think that like God really like gave that to me, gave those things to me. And so to like, instead of those things, those interests and hobbies and things being your identity, it's something that you can like flows out of like living as a child of God and knowing that you're loved. Because if you go the opposite way, like your sports and your school, like that can just be very to have your identity being in like being a good student or a good athlete or like behaving like your friends think you should or wearing the clothes that your friends think you should, then it just like it just destroys you. And so but if that's something that is coming out of like your identity in Jesus, then like some of those things are just they're just fun and they're things to enjoy or they are purposeful. So I don't know, that's kind of what it looks like for me.
Yeah, and I think going just back to, like, what's your foundational piece? Like, what's your cornerstone? When we have something else that's our foundation of our life, then it tends to be shaky. Like, if our foundation is, like, at the very core of who I am is a good athlete, well, what happens when you have an injury, right? Like, what do you do then? Or, like, the very core of you is a good student and you just get one bad test grade. Like, that happens. Like, what do you do then? And so when our core of who we are is Jesus, then when we get that injury or have that bad grade or we don't act the way that our friends think we should act, then that's okay, right? Like, we know that, like, where our peace is and where our hope is in Jesus, because he doesn't change. He's consistent yesterday, today, and forever, and he always has been. And so, like, he gets to be the very core of who we are, and, like, that's why I like the series of Cornerstone, of Jesus being our cornerstone, because it has to start with him. Everything else that we have has to start with him.
Yeah. And I think, too, with this idea of, like, these things change, I think when our identity isn't found in Christ and we're placing it in these other things, we're limiting ourselves in what God has for us. Of, like, if I'm going to be, like, nope, my identity is in this thing, like, again, for me, like in my job right now, if I place my identity in being a preteen and middle school director, if the Lord calls me to something else, but my identity is found in my job and not in him, then like I may miss like what God is calling me into next. And so I think that with when our identity is found in Christ and not in whatever we're doing or whoever we think we are outside of him, I think we limit and narrow and miss out on opportunities that he may have for us in what's coming up. So once we get to this place where we really find ourselves like understanding this idea of my identity is found in Jesus, not in being an athlete, not in my job, not as a plus student, whatever that is, what is the difference that we see from then till now?
I think, like I said, I think a lot of freedom like comes from that, just because I don't know, like I would compare myself to other people a lot and like be like, all of my friends were really smart people. I surrounded myself with some good people, but they did really good in school. And they would, yeah, they would just talk about all their, like, test scores and grades and things like that. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, I, and I would just, like, compare or, like, really, like, my friends were really good athletes. And I would just compare. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And they all had, like, a direction, like, on their life. And they were like, I know exactly what I want to do and, like, how I'm going to do it. And I was like, wait. And but I think I was just trying to, like, look for, like, my identity in those things. And, like, I placed way too much of an importance on those things rather than on, like, on who I am in Jesus and, like, how he sees me. And I, so I feel like when I like started to live into that, like there was just so much freedom and like, okay, like God made them to be like that and gave them their gifts. And then God made me to be like this and have my gifts, and there might be different, and that's okay, because he didn't create me to be my friend, and he created me to be me. And so, yeah, just so much freedom and just so much, like, weight, I think, can be lifted off. I don't know.
Yeah, I think freedom is a great word to describe the transition. Like, I think there's freedom in the, even in the expectations we have for ourselves, right? Both in comparison, but even I feel like I remember, like, as a student, like, I, in high school specifically, middle school and high school, like, I, like, owned my identity as a good student. Like, and that's what I wanted to be. And I still remember the first, like, overall grade. Like, I had gotten straight A's through middle school, which I was so proud because I made a bet with my dad that I could do it and he would buy me a laptop at the end of middle school if I did it. And so, like, I got it in writing. Nice. He had to get me that laptop. It was awesome. And then I move into high school and, like, I'm still striving for that same thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting my first overall, like, in a class, B. Like, it wasn't just, like, a B on a test. Like, I had gotten that before, but, like, overall B. And for, like, I still remember it was biology. Pete was not my teacher.
That's why.
I know, I know. Mr. Stanislavski was my teacher. That stinking bee. But, like, I remember being so, like, distraught over it. And, like, I was just talking to a student recently about, you know, a similar thing happening to her. And I was like, honestly, that was the best thing that happened to me because I really experienced, like, after I, like, kind of woke myself up of, like, no one's gonna ask me what I got in ninth grade biology in, like, 3 years from now, like, even when I'm just graduating or whatever. And so, like, once I woke myself up to the reality of that, like, I was able to experience freedom of, like, I don't have to, like, I want to strive to do my best, but I don't have to get so caught up in it that, like, and this, again, placing so much stake in this as my identity, that, like, I'm getting to this level of stress or frustration with myself. Because, again, that's not what God has for us, but he has this freedom when we truly place our identity in him. And I think that's huge. I love that word, Heidi, for that.
Yeah, I think that just that freedom, for me, it was sports, right? Is like, I was a pretty good soccer player. Not that great wrestler, but I got beat up a lot. But even in, like, those things, when I had my moment of, like, no, my identity and who I am is in Jesus. Like, when I was a time to let go of those things, like, there were still tears, but it wasn't tears of, like, I'm losing who I am, but of, like, this season of life is over. And, like, that's a healthy place to be. Like, you know, I can mourn that this season of life is over, but I can also look forward to what God has for me next. And I think that's a difference of what, like, you guys have been talking about, of, and when our identities need something else, and that maybe that season ends, like, we're gonna hold on to that thing so tight. Like you were saying, Jay, we're gonna miss what God has, but our identities in Jesus, like, we're recognize, like, the season's coming in, and it's sad, it's hard, but I can also recognize that, like, God still stays the same all the time. And, like, when we can be like, I'm first and foremost, like, his child, I'm a follower of him, everything else, like, we just get to enjoy, like what Heidi, you were saying.
And I think there's, like, also a type of rest that you can experience
with that.
Just to be like, okay, like, I'm already loved and I'm already accepted by, like, the God of heaven and earth and everything. Yeah. And so, like, I don't have to do anything to, like,
gain approval.
Yeah, gain approval or anything. But I just, like, get to, like, live. Like, into these things that he's gifted me in, and I get to, like, share him with other people, and I just get to do it for his glory and not for the acceptance of people. And there's so much rest that can be found in that.
Absolutely. And I think too, it's important, like, for us, like, to say, as we often do, like, even as we're talking in our experiences of how we have struggled with this and how we have now gotten to a place where we find our identity and set that in Jesus. Like, I think, like, I don't want to speak for you guys, but I'm guessing, like, there are still moments where we all struggle with this. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you're feeling like, okay, like, I believe this and I know this, but I still have these moments, like, that is the reality of being a human, is that, again, like, especially in the culture that we are in right now, like, there are so many things getting thrown at you as to, like, who we should be and where we should find our identity. And so as you struggle with that, like, find ways that you can remind yourself of the truth of who you are. And so I don't know if you guys have any, like, practical tips or things, like, when you have those moments, maybe when you're like, I'm struggling in this, like, how do you bring yourself back to this place of, like, no, I know where my identity is set.
So the best soccer players that I've played with are the most proactive players. They're the players who don't react to situations, but they're the people who are setting up the play, putting themselves in the right position to be in the place to score or whatever it is. And I think the same thing is in life. I think the people who find the most success, however you define success, are the people who are proactive with their life. And being proactive and having your identity in Jesus is, like, what are you listening to? What are you feeding your mind? So are you spending time with Jesus? Are you praying? Are you spending time in church? Are you spending time with other believers? Are you telling yourself truth? Or are you believing the lies that the enemy wants you to believe about yourself? Or the lies that you are telling yourself? And I think when we can differentiate and have a bigger emphasis on who God says we are and the truth about who we are, then we combat those lies a lot easier, and our identity stays in Him, and we don't fall into that temptation of holding our value in something else. Mm-hmm. Versus when we're just sitting around listening to the lies and other things that the world tells us that we should be, then our identity is, it's easier to be fallen into something else. So I feel like that's one of the main ways for me, is, like, being intentional about where I'm, what I'm listening to, what I'm spending my time.
Yeah. I think for me, it's, I gotta go find people to be with who love Jesus. Yeah. I have to go find people that will, like, speak truth to me and, like, get me out of my head. And, like, when you start to believe a lie, you believe that the lie is true. And so sometimes you need somebody outside of your head to just tell you. It might be simple, it might be easy, but just, like, remind you of who you are and remind you of the truth. Because sometimes it's hard to remind yourself. I think, yeah, when I am surrounded by people who love Jesus in, like, a community like that, it's when I've been able to, like, do that the most. And so if you feel like you don't have people like that, you do. Your life group leaders, Brandon and Andrea, like, you do. You have people to go to. We're all here.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that brings us back to, again, what we've talked about, I feel like, a lot, this idea of the importance of community in this journey, right? And so we want to do this life together, and we are so much better and stronger when we, again, when we're going at this together versus alone. And so I think that's a really good reminder to just be in community, to invest in the people around you. But any other final thoughts that you guys have, or things as we wrap up this conversation?
I think something to help us remember our identity is that, like, just take a moment to remember how big God is.
Yeah.
Like, creator of all things. And by Him all things are created.
Yeah.
Like, how big He is. And then think about how big He is, and then how much He loves you. And that, like, His love for you is beyond our understanding. And that's who we get our identity in.
Yeah.
And, like, when we take moments to appreciate that, I think it'd be easier to step into Him being our core of who we are. So, yeah. Absolutely.
That's great. All right. Well, as always, as we wrap up the
podcast.
I'm combining my words. I'm just like, all right, let's keep it rolling. So I'm just going to slur them all together.
Love
it. The podcast, our final question, as it's been all season, or what are your next steps? Next steps in faith.
That's a good question.
Yeah. I think the Samuel Project, we are reading a book called Great Commission, Great Compassion. And it's all about, like, basically being on mission, like, where we are in our daily lives. And then we were looking through articles for the email we send out halfway through the parent connection for resources. And there's just talking about a story of just being boldly sharing and inviting. And I think that's the next step for me. Just like, I know my neighbor's dog's name. I don't know their names. Mocha is a good dog. I'm sure they're great people, but I think having that boldness to just meet them and start what that invite would look like. So, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I think, like, I literally was just saying that you should do this, but I think for me, like, being more consistent with meeting with people regularly and just sharing things with people, because I went to the next conference and someone was talking about how they do like a full life confession with a few people who are very close to them because they want to die with no secrets, no secrets at all. And that was really, like, challenging. Like, that's really, like, that would be really hard.
Yeah.
And so I feel like just my next steps are, like, just living closely with people and sharing things like that. And having people speak truth into me, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think for me is, I feel like this is an area that I've done, like, talking about our identity. Like, I feel like I've done a lot of work. Not that I'm perfect in this, but, like, it's an area that I feel like I have a lot of confidence in. I struggle in a lot of other areas, but this is one. And so, like, how can I use that confidence in my identity to, as Heidi, like, you were saying, like, almost the other side of that, of, like, how can I help speak into other people's lives? And so just, like, being more intentional about, I can't tell you how many times, like, somebody will pop in my head throughout the day, and I'm like, oh, I should text them. Do I? No. Like, I, you know, like, I get busy, or, like the Lord places people on my mind, I think, for a reason. And so for me to, in those moments, like, be like, okay, Lord, I hear you. Like, it may be nothing in per, like, it may for be for no other reason than just to be like, hey, I'm praying for you or thinking of you. But, like, again, to just step out in faith, and who knows what God may bring of those moments. So I think that's for me, is when those moments come, to take action and just use that as opportunities to speak truth into the lives of people that God has placed in my life. So that's my next step. But as we wrap up, as always, we hope that you share your next step with somebody. If you have any questions, want to dig deeper into this, we'd love to have a conversation with you. We care about you. We love you. And with all that being said, we say to go and be more like Jesus.